Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to open the committee on the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness. Appreciate everybody being here today, and thanks to all that will be testifying today. We've got a couple of bills at and an HCR that we look forward to a hearing. And without further ado, by the way, we'll mention as well that the World War II Memorial Foundation is in the building today, and they're in the governor's ceremonial chambers. The governor was slated to speak, but he was called to be in the box with the President of the United States and his wife. So I told him I would stay here and hold down this fort, and he could go do that, and I applaud the effort. So with that, we will open up public hearing and possible work session on HCR 3. Elizabeth?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Concurrent Resolution 3 honors Korean veterans for their heroic service in the Vietnam War alongside American service members.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. And to start off, and I appreciate you having another committee to get to, but Representative Jules Bailey, and I think joining you at the dais will be Representative Julie Parrish.
Chair Matthews, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify on HCR 3. For the record, my name is Jules Bailey. I have the honor of representing House District 42. This issue came to me originally from a constituent and business owner in my district and friend who alerted me to this problem and connected me to Mr. Kim, who has been working with a group of veterans of the Vietnam War to address what is really a profound problem for this community. These are individuals who are now American citizens who fought and were wounded and in some cases died for their country now in the Vietnam War alongside their American brothers. And they've been caught in a limbo because of it. At the time that they were fighting in the Vietnam War, many of them were Korean citizens as part of that war effort and have since immigrated to the United States. They suffer from many of the same issues that many of the returning American veterans have suffered from, including post-traumatic stress disorder and exposure to Agent Orange and other injuries that affect them in the exact same way that their American counterparts have been affected. However, they get caught in a space where, because they many of them were Korean citizens at the time of the war, despite the fact that they were fighting for our country in Vietnam, and they are now American citizens, it is difficult, if not impossible, for them to access veterans benefit services to deal with the health problems and the ongoing problems that many of them are facing. They also obviously cannot access care through Korea because they are now American citizens. So they fall into this limbo where they are struggling to get recognition, struggling to get access to the services that their fellow veterans have, and we would ask that you consider this resolution to honor their service, to send a message to Congress that this is a national problem that needs to be dealt with, and also that Oregon needs to act to help out the veterans who are in our community who fought bravely in the Vietnam War for this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bailey, and I have a feeling we're going to hear a little bit about some of these things from Representative Parrish.
I think you will. So for the record, Julie Parrish, House District 37, and I appreciate the opportunity, Chair Matthews, to sit here with Representative Bailey. I was glad that he looped me into this conversation. We got to have a wonderful evening with our friends in the audience here who just further explained what the real issues and some of the travesties of this small class of people really represents. And just so you know, we'll be hearing at some point House Bill 2891, which is the companion bill for this. So this bill is our resolution to urge Congress to get off the stick and do something about it. But I think it's also important to recognize that as a state, we have the opportunity sometimes to intervene and do things when Congress can't, which is what you'll see in 2891. I think it's important to, you know, just acknowledge that, and if you all know this, we've had many of these conversations, that when somebody goes to war, sometimes you don't see the wounds that they actually have and that they suffer from. And what's happened with our Vietnam veterans is that they might not have been injured in a way that you can see on the battlefield, but we're seeing 40 years later those injuries manifest. We see them manifest from people who were exposed to Agent Orange, people who are having issues related to that exposure, people who are still suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, there is a litany of issues that we know are associated with folks who served in Vietnam. And for this small class of people in Oregon, nationally the class size is about 2,500 Americans. In Oregon, it's less than 50. And so for this small class of people in Oregon to be caught in the limbo that you heard Rhett Bailey describe, is it's not acceptable, and it's fixable, and I think we have some opportunity to do that. So this bill simply is just telling our congressional counterparts to, you know, as they are dealing with all the other problems, this is one that can't wait. We know that this weekend, I was reading through the Sunday paper, we had 13 World War II vets that were in Sunday's obituary section, and we also know that our Vietnam vets are dying off at a rate as fast as our World War II veterans are. So when you think about the clip of people that we're losing and this group of folks who are not getting any kind of benefits from the VA, it is time for us to act and do something about it, certainly to let Congress know, but also as we look at the companion bill for this sometime in the next week or so, it was read on the House floor yesterday, that it's also time and Oregon has an opportunity to act and engage to help these folks, and we'd certainly love to have them be able to come up and share their stories.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate you both being here. And for the folks that might be listening at home or they're in the audience, you may not have access to the background information, so I'm just going to read it into the record just briefly. Over 325,500 Korean soldiers fought alongside American soldiers during the Vietnam War. Of those Korean soldiers, 5,099 were killed and 10,962 were injured. It's estimated that 1,300 Korean veterans live in the United States, of which approximately 95% are American citizens. House Concurrent Resolution 3 honors Korean veterans for their heroic service in the Vietnam War. That's the background and the concurrent resolution you're bringing forward, and I applaud your efforts. I really do. Committee, anybody have any questions of these two fine representatives? Yes, Representative
Huffman. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a question, but thanks so much for being the ears to hear the plight and bring it to us. Really appreciate it.
Well, Rep. Bailey brought it forward, so thank you. I'm happy to jump on and help.
Thank you, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you talk to Korean citizens, so many of them will never forget the fact that American servicemen and women went over to defend their freedom. And many of them fought alongside our veterans in Vietnam because, in essence, they were returning a favor that had saved their country and preserved their freedom and democracy a generation earlier. They did this in many instances in honor and love of the United States, and I thank both of you for recognizing the great service that they provided not only to their own country but to ours as well.
Thank you, Representative.
We'll clear the way so they can come up and share their
absolutely
story.
And with that, I know Representative Bailey, you have some further work to do in another committee. Thanks for your testimony. We'll make sure we assign the bill your way or the resolution when
thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
And with that, we will next call up William Watkins and Everett Brown, please. And gentlemen, for you and for everybody else that may be, you know, fairly new to the committee, we just ask you to identify yourself prior to your testimony and state your name for the record. And you can start in whatever order you would prefer.
Okay, I'll start because I'm senior. My name is Everett Brown, and I represent the Korean South Vietnam veterans throughout the countryside. And it all started with I and Young Kim. As you can see, he has a Rock Marine emblem on his hat, and I, being an American Marine, we consider them brothers. Actually, we trained them. and that's why they were so hard. But I had walked into his store to buy some beer. A marine on a beer is a very sinful thing. So buying beer, I saw all the marine paraphernalia. One marine to another, things got to going. Found out we had both served in Chulai during the same time. We were both wounded at the same time. Both medevaced out of country. He went to a different place. I went to Yokosuka, Japan. We meet 30, 40 some years later. And since then, we've had resolutions come up in Guam, Hawaii, Virginia, in those states, in Virginia, and Oregon, pardon me,
New Jersey.
And New Jersey. And Oregon right now is our latest state to ask for the help. And I'll tell you, you guys have been more gracious and willing to help than even our own state. So, yes, these men fell through a crack. You don't get any help. Bill and I both suffer from PTSD. We take our little four little white pills every night so we could sleep, get rid of the nightmares. He doesn't. He has to put up with the nightmares and the anger and the cancers that are going around. And I didn't have the heart to see him because Marines don't leave their buddies on the battlefield, and that's what we're doing here. These gentlemen from the Army, to watch these guys in action, I worked with them as a grunt. And the American Marine and the Korean Marine, they were the most feared from the communists, believe that or not. They were scared to death of us. That which made it good for us. But now he's just a meek old man, and he's going through some medical problems, and I couldn't bear to see him doing without. And then Representative Parrish and Representative Bailey met with us, and when we were done with that meeting, we knew we were going to get some help here. And greatly appreciate it, Representative. And other than that, if you have any questions, I support your bill wholeheartedly. If you have any questions, be willing to answer.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And are we going to hear from Mr. Young Kim?
It's an honor to be here. And first of all, I'd like to express my deep thanks to all the Korean War veterans who live in Oregon. Without their dedication, Korea would be now here. That's all the Korea now, well developed economically, everything. Being a strong country is a made in Oregon Korea War veteran product. Today is I really appreciate all your try to helping us. I was in Vietnam 5 years, 1966 to 71. 3 years in service, working for the county intelligence corps, living in the villages, and 2 years working for American construction company to protect the U.S. personnel and the property. Since I come to the after the war, I come to the 1976. I come to the Alaska, then. And we work hard. We appreciate looking for better job, better life. I had a bad memory to thinking about the first marriage that I had. I had a first son has a birth defect, and I couldn't take care of them. Nobody taking care of in my family because of poor, and I have to give up the custody. And that time, if I can send him back to the United States, he might not get hungry. All the dream that I had, he's not get hungry. But somehow they sent it to the French. But he grew up, he was educated, and he taking grudge on me, said I abandoned him, so he don't want to talk to me. Mm. I don't know what it was, but I found out that was cause of Agent Orange things. And my daughter, now 32 years old, she been complaining about fibromyalgia or something. Mm-hmm. We have a 2,500 Korean veterans living in America. Most of them are U.S. citizens. And when they come into the United States, it will take about 5 to 10 years to get a citizenship. But Korean government denied that the benefit for us. So we are left out from the Korean government benefit. So that we try to find out some solution from BA. We've been trying, but I don't know how to get to it. But my friend, we've been in Vietnam together and nearby, and he helping me, and that's where we started. The 2,500 people, among about 600 people, is kind of Agent Orange things. A lot of people with the cancers, lung cancers, stomach cancers, and diabetes and that. We didn't know what it was, you know. But most of them started about 3,000, but the 500 died, still disappearing some. We had 45 members of Oregon, but right now about a handful left. We can find out a handful. I don't know, some of them gone or they moved out. We desperately need, we are ages 70, 65 to 70, 75. We have not many years. But as we're proud to be American citizens, and I think we did work fine, and we did a good job. And even come to the United States, we work hard. We're still working. We like to work. But some of the friends suffering from those cancers and or the Agent Orange things without help, they don't have any help from any sources, any government, either Korea or America. And they're financially not stable, and physically, mentally, they are retired. So we try to work hard, but we noticed that they need to be changed the law. But I don't know how long it will take. But please do understand that our difficulty and help us so we can have a leftover life and be a little bit more hopeful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. Thank you so much for your service. And I think, as you know, the companion bill that was referred to in her testimony, you have a legislator that has a very big heart and a passion to find a way to solve this issue for, as you say, a handful of folks and a committee that's compelled to do so as well. And we hope to get there. That's not this bill. This is a concurrent resolution. But this other bill that we're talking about, we will definitely bring that forward. Thank you so much, sir. And if we can, then, Mr. Watkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and representatives. My name is William H. Watkins. I graduated from Grant High School in Portland. I entered the Marine Corps in 1965, and I served 3 tours in Vietnam. I retired out of the military in 1989 with 25 years. In those 3 tours in Vietnam, I served with 1st ATs, 226, Infantry, and 11th the Motor. In each of the times I was there, I fought side by side with my Korean friends. We bled, we died, and we cried with each other. And it's a dying shame that we cannot take care of our friends that now are American citizens. And hopefully, I've been back to D.C. twice now fighting for them. And I'm still fighting for them until they get what they deserve, at least medical help to help them with the diseases that our veterans from Vietnam are suffering now. I fully approve with what you're doing. And if there's anything that I can do, I was a commander of the DAV, I'm the adjutant of the Marine Corps League, and I'm also a VLC member in the state of Washington. And if there's anything we can do to help, just call on us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And you came from Tumwater today to testify, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for making the drive. Compelling testimony. We appreciate that. Committee members, anybody have any questions for this panel? Yes, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When were you in country?
I was in country first time from 66 to 67, second time from 68 to 69, and last time from 70 to 71.
And you, sir?
I was there January 2nd, 1966, and medevaced out of there October 10th, 1966.
66. And you, sir? 66?
I was in 66, September 66 to 69, October, and 69, October to 73, November.
And you were all in 2 Corps, is that correct?
Pardon me?
I-Corps.
That's where
I-Corps?
The fighting was.
I-Corps and 2 Corps?
I-Corps, sir.
Yeah, no, it was really actually anywhere. They even had it in the Delta, believe it or not.
I didn't know what you said.
Hey, he said 2 Corps, and as I-Corps was the only place that was fighting.
Yeah, that's, talk to those boys in Central Highlands, yeah. And they'll disagree with
you.
Thank you for your service, and welcome home.
Thank
I think
you,
that's most important. If you were never welcomed home, and I do welcome both you home. Rocks were very, very important to us in Vietnam. We had a division next to us, and they were great. Nobody messed with us because they were there.
The only thing is you had to keep everything in your pocket straight up.
And thank you for your service. And let's see if we can't do something for these people, because Agent Orange is such a far-reaching thing that we're still not sure of what will come out of the woodwork on it. I suffer from diabetes from it. I'm sure you have some disabilities from it. Anyone that's been around it has a disability from it one way or the other. So,
Mr. Brown has diabetes very bad.
Yeah, so do I. So.
On a pump?
No, not yet, but I don't want to do that. But I'm on 5 shots a day. But anyway, again, let's try to do something for this man and these people, because, you know, they were just the same as us, if not a little bit better soldier, I thought, than some of our troops, because they were very proficient at what they did.
Well, they didn't quite come up to the Marine level.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that Black Panther division was pretty tough. But anyway, I implore this committee to see what we can do, because that's an American citizen now. And so therefore, I look at his service as an American.
Thank you, Representative Esquivel, and your Vietnam veterans, and welcome, welcome home to you as well, sir.
And by the way, my stepfather fought in Korea and was there when the Chinese overran the Americans and wandered around for 10 days in the Chinese and back of the Chinese lines, and happened to walk out through a seam, walked out into an Ethiopian camp. But he was stuck there for 10 days behind the lines, so quite a country.
Thank you.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. Well, I do love that this is the committee when you say you swap war stories. These are actual war stories. So you hear that in other committees sometime in there. It's nothing like coming to the Veterans Affairs Committee. So there is the companion bill, and what that bill is asking is that for our Korean citizens who are qualified and show their qualified service, that we are going to, at the state level, make an exception for health care in our state. So we will be hopeful to see that bill move through the Ways and Means system. It's great that we can take the lead on this as a state to solve this, because our congressional friends can't seem to get it handled there, and they've had several years, a lot of years, much opportunity to solve it. And so I think sometimes when our in the lack of leadership at the congressional level, in the absence of that we have an obligation to pick up that slack. So you'll see that bill. You don't have to come all the way back from Tumwater for it, but you'll see that bill, and our goal will be to give care in the state for this class of people. And again, it really is, we don't even know where all, you know, 45, 50 of these folks are in this state. So it's not like there's going to be a race to go and find out. But those who are here, we want to know where they are and be able to get them the services that they need and honor their service to the country. You've got a list.
The numbers kind of dwindled a little bit. There's only about 13 of them left, but we got their names, addresses, and what counties and districts they're from.
All right.
That'd be very helpful, Mr.
We'll take a copy of that. If we can get that copy, that'd be fantastic. So, thank you.
Any other committee members have any questions? Thank you very much for coming today. Appreciate your service.
Thank you
so much.
Representative Parrish, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm curious. I also have signed up Yonsei Kim and Hyo H. Yi. Were they going to testify today?
They're here. Bill?
I also have signed up Yonsei Kim and Hyo H. Yi. Were they going to testify? Just okay, same group. Just here to support. Thank you, sir, and thank you all for your service. Any of our Korean Vietnam veterans out there in the audience, if you could just please stand up, please, if we could just recognize you. If you're a Korean Vietnam veteran, one here, two, three?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Four? Thank you. Yes, on behalf of the committee, thank you all for your service, and we'll see what we can get done. Thank you very much. So with that, as she's stepping out into the hallway,
I'm ready to vote.
I believe we should, and I believe that we can act swiftly on this.
Are you sure you don't want to debate this one?
Well, I don't, but I will say that oftentimes these concurrent resolutions they don't amount to a great deal, but they make big statements, and I think this is one of those cases. And so I think that if I don't see any objection, we can move this bill today, and I will close the public hearing on HCR 3. And open a work session on HCR 3. We're going to call a recess for just a moment, and for Representative Parrish to come into the dais, stand by. We'll be recessed.
Are we all back? Okay.
And thank you. Yes, we were at ease, and now we're back, and we are in work session for HCR.
I'm just slowing down the whole thing. Chair Matthews, I move HCR 3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Parrish moves HCR 3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any further discussion from the committee? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Parrish?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye. And the motion passes. And we'll need to assign a carrier, and I believe, are you going to?
Bailey.
Representative Bailey will carry this, and did you want to co-carry with it, or you just want to?
Well, I'll be happy to do that, and I certainly, when we move 2891, I'd like to carry that too when we get there. So
we'll do that. We'll assign Representative Bailey and co-carry it with Representative Parrish.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go check on that. Excuse me.
That will be fine. And oops. There we are. And we will now open up a public hearing. And we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2421 and House Bill 2422.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2421 instructs the Oregon Department of Transportation Director to share the names and addresses of service members and veterans with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs Director on a monthly basis when service members or veterans make written inquiry regarding applications for licenses, identification cards, certificates of vehicle title, or vehicle registrations. This bill requires that service members or veterans provide written authorization for the release of their information to the ODVA. It also authorizes ODOT to adopt rules in consultation with the ODVA regarding the method of implementing the notification procedure. Similarly, HB 2422 instructs the Oregon Department of Human Services Director to share names and addresses of service members and veterans with the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs Director on a monthly basis when those service members or veterans make written inquiries regarding certain benefits to DHS. Similarly, it requires authorization of service members or veterans before releasing their information to the ODVA, and it authorizes DHS to adopt rules in consultation with the ODVA regarding the method of implementing the notification procedure.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. And with that, I think I'll just call to the dais, and I'll let him fly solo today. These are issues that we've been working with out of my office, and I'm very excited to have before us testifying today Derek Bradley, who is the legislative aide in my office and has worked with me now for 5 years. And I'm sorry to say that he'll be taking a trip here and going to law school here shortly. But this is one he's done a lot of research, a lot of work with, and the agencies have been wonderful to work with, and we'll hear from them. But we want to open up both bills because the testimony is really similar, as you can hear by the description. So with that, Derek Bradley, welcome to the committee. And if you will, please, for the record, state your
Chair Matthews, committee, for the record, my name is Derek Bradley, and for 16 more days, I am a legislative assistant for Representative Greg Matthews, representing the fine people of House District 50, which is most of the city of Gresham. I'm going to lay out a little bit of the background behind these bills, talk a little bit about the actual bills, and then briefly mention why this is just a fantastic deal and a great idea, I think, for the state of Oregon. And then we're going to hear from a lot of agencies that we've worked with in the past and are currently working with about these programs, and they should be able to answer technical questions as well as just sort of provide a bit more backstory on what we're trying to accomplish here. Oregon currently has about 330,000 veterans, of which only about 100,000 are receiving benefits. They receive approximately $1.9 billion in federal benefits a year. That's billion with a B, and that ranges in all sorts of varying types of benefits that they can receive, you know, housing, healthcare, what have you. The Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs estimates that of the 230,000 veterans not receiving benefits, at least, and I've been told this is probably a conservative number, an additional 100,000 of them would qualify for federal benefits. And that a major hurdle is that we don't really necessarily know where they are, who is and is not getting, there are veterans out there that the VA doesn't know where they live, that they qualify for benefits, and that there's no way of getting in touch with them. So in 2012, Representative Matthews had a bill that went through this committee, House Bill 4064. And it did the same thing that these bills are doing, but with the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and we have a representative from the Bureau of Labor and Industries to talk about the program. And we've dubbed this the No Wrong Door Policy, which the idea being if a veteran walks into a state agency, they should be able to be identified as a veteran, and they should be able to be told by the Department of Veterans Affairs whether or not they have benefits that they qualify for, that they're not receiving, and if they do, they should be given the assistance they need to make sure they can get those benefits quickly and help them with whatever assistance we can provide them. Boley was supportive and continues to be very supportive of the program. There is a letter from the good Commissioner Avakian dated August 8, 2012, discussing their support. I just want to mention one brief line that he writes towards the end of this letter, and this is available if any of you would care for a copy of this. He writes, "From our perspective, the partnership is working quite well. A year after beginning the referral process, it has proven to be very simple and easy to implement, while the benefit to our individual returning servicemen and women has proved enormous." And I just want to clarify, they say a year, even though the bill was not passed until February of 2012, because they were so excited about this project that they began actually implementing the referral process before it was passed into legislation. And I think I speak for Chair Matthews and myself when I say that we were really thankful that they started that when they did. They'll be able to talk a little bit more about the numbers of people, as will the ODVA. So we have this program and it's working well, and we decided we wanted to expand it, and we sat down and we looked at where are we getting lots of people in the door in the state, and where are we going to be able to identify large numbers of veterans. And the Department of Human Services and the Department of Motor Vehicles came to mind pretty promptly. They'll be able to talk a little bit again about the exact numbers of people they're dealing with, but it is between the two of them, a vast majority of the population of the adult population of this state goes through one of those two agencies in any 2 to 3 year time period. And so we sat down and started working with them early on. That letter was originally drafted so we could provide some information from a department head to other department heads about how beneficial this was and how easy and successful this program had been. And they've been incredibly, incredibly helpful. And I just want to thank everyone that we've worked with in DHS, ODOT, DMV, OHA, ODVA, and BOLI for really never once trying to do anything but be incredibly helpful and supportive of this decision. And I just want to put that on the record that I'm very appreciative. So 2421, 2422 would move this to the DMV and DHS, with the goal being more veterans getting more benefits, and not benefits they deserve and earned, and that they oftentimes don't know exist. And so we are hoping that we can find a way to do this. The great news about this is, if you look at the fiscal reports for both these bills, you're going to see that the DMV's fiscal bill is at about $100,000 to implement and about $32,600 to continue every biennium. That is a far lower number than we had originally anticipated, and I'm sure the representative from ODOT would be more than happy to inform you that it's a very low number for doing anything involving DMV, because it is a very large agency that has to handle a large amount of paperwork and casework, and it's just thrilling that we can find a way to get this implemented at an affordable cost. DHS's fiscal statement will mention that it's an indeterminate fiscal cost. They can talk a little bit more about the details of that. They had a number, an estimate, that it turns out was probably would be lower than what they'd initially thought. And the reason it's indeterminate is that in working with the agencies, we wanted to make clear that we want this to be done in an efficient manner that works on their schedule and with their resources, and that we did not want to demand they do this at this moment, because that honestly could have, you know, cost money and resources that could go to just forwarding information to veterans. And so you'll read in the statement that the details of the cost will be dependent on the rules and when they are able to implement this, but they are going through a major and exciting overhaul of their systems right now, and we wanted to get this bill before you this session so that we can get this implemented while they're already transitioning to more of an online-based intake system. So that's sort of why we're doing these bills and where they came from and, you know, why these two agencies and why now. At the end of the day, we're looking at potentially another 100,000 veterans getting benefits to the tune of another $1.5 to $2 billion potentially coming to the state to help our veterans. In addition, more identified veterans receiving more benefits means a greater, I would say, knowledge at the federal level of how many people there are that need assistance from veterans' issues, and that will provide further resources. And I want to say, and this is, I think, doesn't even quite capture it, that having more federal dollars flow in and more people on benefits is that have earned them in this sense is good, but I'm of the firm belief that a veteran that is healthy and sound of body and mind is one of the most productive members of citizenry and community. And to take people that need a little bit of help and to get them the help they deserve, these are not people that are going to take that help and then say, well, awesome, I can lounge around and read some books, which is nice. But these are people that are just give them the life of service, and that if they are in a place to serve and give more, I have no doubt they will continue to do that. So not only are we taking someone that needs some assistance and providing them a lifestyle where they don't need assistance, we are turning someone that needs assistance into someone that's going to actively and passionately find ways to give back to their community, in addition to putting a bit more of the federal spotlight on Oregon veterans. So, with that, I will be happy to answer any questions you have about these bills, and to also, when that's done, step aside and let the wonderful people that know how their agencies work come and tell you about these bills some more. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. Members of the committee, anybody have any questions for Derek Bradley? Yes.
Well, thank you. I remember when I first learned that I was going to be on the Veterans Committee, and you told me about this bill, and it just sounds like an incredible idea. So thank you for all the work that you've done with Chair Matthews to get it to move forward. I'm just curious, just in actual practice, so, you know, someone walks in the door of DMV, just what does that look like, just out of curiosity?
Representative Fagan, Chair Matthews, thank you for the question. I'm going to, on a lot of details, specifically the details of how the DMV intake process works, I would defer to ODOT, and also with a lot more details on ODVA's side and BOLI's side, I think they'll have some information for you, but I can give you a general rundown. Each agency has a different way of taking in casework from citizens, different forms, different methods. Throughout that process, at the point where their agency thinks is the most efficient and proper time, there will be a little checkbox or a little moment on the form that says, are you a veteran? Is it okay? Yes. If you are, is it okay for us to forward your contact information to the Department of Veterans Affairs? Yes. That will go into a spreadsheet or whatever system they decide is best utilized for their systems. Again, these are two bills because we crafted them with the agencies independently to make sure we could get it. Agencies work differently, and we realized that, and we wanted them to have a lot of control over the direction this would look like. And so at the end of the month, they will forward that information to the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs, who will then, through mechanisms that I believe Tom Mann can give you a bit more detail on, will use veteran caseworkers to reach out to and get in touch with these veterans that they identify as qualifying for benefits that are not receiving them. It's a general, broad picture.
Answer your question.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And that is one of the for the committee to understand, one of the challenges is going to be to not only identify veterans, but to have the veteran then allow us to further their information to the government. There just is that issue with some veterans that maybe they just don't want to participate, and we respect that as well, and it is by their option. Yes, Representative Escobar.
I would like to remind everyone that even though you have been discharged out of the service, that you can go to the Veterans Administration and get a veteran's ID card, which helps immensely. Believe it or not, it even gives you discounts in stores and so on and so forth. And it's a very good thing that you don't have to have any military ID. You just go there, they'll take your picture, and then they'll send it to you out of, I think, Philadelphia or something like that. And you get it about 2 weeks later, and it's good ID.
Good to know. Any further questions? Well, I got to say again, Derek, thanks for all the work you do. Thanks for working on this issue. When I think about 5 years ago, if you'd have told me you'd be sitting in front of the Veterans Committee testifying on your own on a bill that, seems like it's that small a bill, but it has such a huge impact, I don't know if I'd believe either of us would be sitting here. So thank you so much for all you've done.
Representative,
really appreciate it. Yes.
Are you sure you want to be an attorney?
I'm less sure about that and more sure that I want to go on a 5-month international trip. And Chair Matthews, members of the committee, Chair Matthews, thank you very much. If you told me 5 years ago that I'd be sitting here before a committee you're chairing, I'd have asked what would have taken you so long to get a gavel. But, such is the way the world works, and I'm thrilled to see you up there.
Paychecks are still due. Thank you very much. And appreciate all you do. Thank you, Derek. Next up, I'd like to call Elizabeth Kushwa from BOLI and Tom Mann, if you would, from ODVA.
Good afternoon, Chair Matthews, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Kushwa. I'm the Legislative Director for the Bureau of Labor and Industries. And as you heard Mr. Bradley mention, we have been referring our clients to the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs since the summer of 2011, almost a full year prior to the bill's implementation date. This has worked terrifically well for us. It's a very simple process for the Bureau. When someone comes in with a civil rights complaint, whether or not the complaint is related to their service, it could be a whistleblowing complaint, a sexual harassment complaint. We have two questions on a check on an intake form with checkbox. Are you a service person or veteran? And would you like to be referred to the Department of Veterans Affairs to learn more about your benefits? The person then is referred with their approval and permission to the department. Up till now, we have referred about 70 people to ODVA. That seems like a very small number, but understand these are just people coming in for the civil rights complaints, and this is a checkbox. It should give you some sort of an idea of the scale of the people that we're not missing, that we're missing, that that could be captured by ODOT or DHS. So it's been a very easy system to implement. While many of the service people and veterans were already receiving benefits, it gives them a great opportunity to learn more about the benefits that they may not know about, that there are additional benefits that they're not receiving. And Mr. Mann could go more into detail about that. But we have found it to be a very simple and a very effective program for us.
Thank you, Ms. Kushwa. Mr. Mann.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Tom Mann with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I want to put this in real-life context for you. You may have read about a SEAL team member who came back home. He was part of the Osama bin Laden raid. And he is a State of the Union address, can I say?
Now, I'll clarify that again, yeah. Tom.
Thank you for your time. And this fella got home, and he was in the paper the other day saying he didn't have health benefits, his marriage was falling apart, he was losing his house, and he was in deep trouble. And those of us that work in Veterans Affairs were scratching our head. The guy's got 5 free years of health care coming. It's clear he has some post-traumatic stress issues that he needs some claims work done on, maybe some physical issues after being a Navy SEAL for 16 years, and he knew nothing about his benefits. And that's exactly what we have here in Oregon. We have active duty, National Guard, Reserve members coming home, and they've been coming home for decades, and they don't know about their benefits. And I would tell you that the average percentage of veterans using their benefits is about 27%. 27% of veterans come home and use their benefits. So we look at that and say, my mission is to find the other 73%. That's my job. My job is to find them and fix them and get their benefits for them and make sure they get everything they earned. So when we were looking at this in 2008 with the Governor's Task Force on Veterans Services, we said, how can we expand our reach? You know, we used to be an agency of 600 people with 14 field offices. It used to be pretty easy. Everybody knew ODVA can come into our doors and get help. We have 84 people left. We don't have the reach we had to, so we had to rely on strategic partnerships. And it was BOLI, and it was ODOT, and DHS, and all the other agencies. We reached out to them, and they have been fantastic. Now, I wouldn't want to leave you with the impression that this is a new idea for ODOT. DMV and ODVA have been working hand in glove on things like veteran license plates. Sometimes even your office is sending me a veteran's having a problem with their life getting their license plate, disabled plate or whatever it might be. And Amy Joyce and I work together to get that fixed. Or we work on the issue of finding the right paperwork so someone can renew their driver's license, because what they do is they bring their DD-214 in and it says U.S. citizen on it, but that's not one of the pieces of paper that work for your driver's license. So we're always working with DMV. DHS, we're always working with DHS. They, under law, have to send veterans to us who apply for Medicaid. They have to send them over to us first to apply for VA pension with A&A before they do a Medicaid application. So there's already a lot of communication going on. Department of Corrections sends us monthly a list of every incarcerated veteran that they have in their system. There are 2,186 of them as of 2 days ago. And we outreach to incarcerated veterans, and especially the ones that are reentering within 6 months. And we meet with them about their veteran benefits to ensure that they have their benefits. So this program that we're talking about, it's not new. And it's something that we've been struggling with because our mission is to reach out and find them all. We are so appreciative of the other agencies that altruistically helping us with our mission, because it's not their mission. They have other things that they are paid to do. They don't have to help us find veterans. But they've reached out and they've done it. how this works, this is how simple it is. They get an intake. It says, check, check, I want to send my stuff to VA. I get an email. And it says, Tom, here is one or two or however many people from this week, and can you reach out to them? My outreach manager then makes a phone call or an email and says, hi, understand that you were at the Bureau of Labor Industries. This is so-and-so with ODVA. We'd like to help you. Then we do an assessment, and this is where we're a little different than the agencies. We're all trained folks that can assess for post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, military sexual trauma, suicidal ideation, orthopedic issues, and marital issues, other issues, because it's not just the VA box we play in. We also are supposed to be resources for all community resources available in case they don't fit into the VA box. So we do our assessment. And so you may have a veteran that's been to Boley who has every single veteran benefit they're supposed to have. But they have another issue, and they have a financial need. I just got a call from the employment department. 82-year-old veteran was meeting with a disabled veteran employment specialist because he wanted a job because he didn't have any money. 82-year-olds. And they called me and said, this man has shoes on his feet that are held together with pins and duct tape. His feet are exposed. Tom, do you know anybody who can buy this guy a pair of shoes? This is the kind of stuff we do as agencies every day. And it's exciting because we're seeing veterans we've never seen before. And we got that 82-year-old, we got him the shoes, but we're also getting him veteran benefits and benefits outside the veteran box. Because we can work with DHS on SNAP. We can work with DHS on voc rehab for younger veterans that don't fit into the VA voc rehab program. We can work with all the other agencies. So we look at it as an integrated way of helping veterans as a state because it's been state policy to do this. The $1.9 billion we receive, think about it this way. If a veteran's not getting their pension with their health care, they're going to be on the Oregon Health Plan because that's the only other place you can go for health care when you're low income. So everyone we put on pension and get them their health care, it's one more that's not getting their benefit from the state. For every veteran we get disability compensation for, they can pay for their rent and their groceries. That's one less person that gets foreclosed and has to go to SNAP to get food stamps. So we think this is not just a win-win, it's a win-win-win. We understand from DOV's perspective and DHS's perspective that the issue is not want. They want to do this. The issue is how. This is complicated. This is not as easy as it sounds for a big, big agency to figure out how do I find all the veterans and then how do I get them to ODVA. We're set up at our agency to take the intake and do the outreach. We have 56 county veteran service officers in 34 counties around the state, plus the 11 or 12 veteran service officers we have in the state that do this. We're prepared to outreach and find them. So our parts, we're ready, but that's our mission. Their part is, however you get me contact information, we're going to use that and we're going to do the outreach. And so we're willing to work with all the agencies, whoever wants to play, and in this case DHS and ODOT, in any way we possibly can, whether it's incremental, whether it's all at once, however they want to do it, to make sure that the veterans of the state get every benefit they earned when they raised their right hand and swore to defend their country.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. And you didn't say, were you for or against the bill? Just kidding.
I'm actually neutral.
Great testimony.
Mr. Chair.
I appreciate that so much.
Excited neutral.
With that, yes.
Question. I was in, Tom, I was in the DMV just last week, and I saw nothing about veterans that was posted. Maybe we could post something in our DMV centers that said, you know, veteran, ? Take one. And maybe it has something to do with a contact that we can contact your organization and get these people. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't have a clue what all my benefits are.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Esquel, we had a program.
Back in those days, they didn't have very many benefits because we were using cannon and musket, right?
We actually had a program where there were some posters up and cards, and that program was a bust. We printed 250,000 postcards for the agencies to put out, and it was a passive program. Veterans had to grab a card and send their information to the government. We received about 3,000 cards back out of 250,000. Lots of reasons. So what we're doing instead, I think that you've seen the magazine that we've produced, and that magazine is going to be going out, and we've been in conversation with DMV trying to figure out how many field offices they actually have and how many of these magazines they are going to request from us. And those are not going to just be out for someone to take, but when you come up to that counter, part of what we're talking and negotiating about is if you were to say, are you a veteran or did you serve, that right. Magazine can be given to them. And that magazine, it's fantastic. Has everything you want to know about veterans, but we're afraid to ask in that magazine, including where to find help for suicidal ideation, military sexual trauma, and the hard stuff.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in addition to appreciation for the bills, I just want to recognize that all of the efforts by all of the agencies that are involved here is just an example of truly good government. And Mr. Mann mentioned that only 27% of the veterans are receiving benefits, and I don't know how many people consider it their mission to triple their workload, but this is the essence of good government, and I want to thank all of the state agencies that are involved in this. I remember last session, one evening, I met a homeless veteran on the street, a very young man who didn't know where his next dollar was coming from, and he was very sick that night. And the next day, the Veterans Department had contacted him and enrolled him for services. So their outreach program is absolutely outstanding, and thank all of the state agencies that are involved in this effort.
I appreciate that comment, Representative Witt. I think we don't hear that often, and I would extend that and say we don't hear it often enough. Our first meetings and our first outreach to the work group to get folks in the room, I wasn't sure what to expect, but everybody has really come to the table with helping the veterans first and foremost, and they've been wonderful. So that's been our experience, and not just this endeavor, but several. So thanks to both you and the agencies you represent, and thanks to the other agencies in the room that are trying to help us get there as well. Thank you both for your time today. And next up, I'd like to call from ODOT, Amy Joyce. And Mickey, Cerise, did you want to testify on DHS, or were you just available if we have any questions for clarification?
Whatever the chair's preference.
If you wouldn't mind coming to the dais, that would sure help us out. And then if there's questions, and just for the members and everybody, I would love nothing more than to just move this bill as swiftly as possible. But honestly, I think that, you know, what we want to do is work through this just a little bit longer, figure this out so that we don't move something that makes us feel good and act swiftly and overlook something. But the agency has been wonderful. We've got a great product, and we're moving forward. So, Ms. Joyce, please.
Thank you, Chair Matthews and members of the committee. My name is Amy Joyce. I'm from the Department of Transportation today representing the DMV. And I want to start by thanking Representative Matthews for bringing us in during the interim and since session started to talk about what the goals were here and how we might get to those goals. So we very much appreciate that. The bill, of course, directs DMV to basically have a checkbox on certain forms that would say that the person is a veteran and wants to be contacted by the ODVA about benefits. Federal and state laws are very tightly control what information the DMV can release, and so part of that is the affirmative indication that that information should be released and the signature by the veteran, him or herself. The bill is written, contemplates just a couple of basic kinds of transactions, a driver license or ID card, new or renewal, title transactions, and vehicle registration transactions to give you an idea of the volume. That totals up in the area of about 2.8 million transactions per year where the DMV would be looking for that box, whether electronically or manually, and entering into whatever system it ends up being that would then transfer that information to the ODVA if the person does, in fact, check the box. The process could be more or less manual, and depending on that, more or less startup costs. But as Derek mentioned in his initial testimony, the fiscal on this comes in far below what some of you may have experienced from a DMV fiscal, so we were quite pleased with that, actually. One thing to note, that because this activity is not related to the building or maintenance of highways, it is not highway fund eligible, so another funding source would need to be identified, and we've since the beginning been in discussions with Representative Matthews about that. And if there are concerns about the fiscal, there are some ways that the cost for the bill could be reduced. One thing to think about is that when a person comes in for a driver license or ID card kind of a transaction, that's a one-on-one event that the vast majority of the time takes place in the field office, not over the phone or through the mail or over the internet. So through that one-on-one interaction, the reason for that checkbox could be explained, and we can be assured that the veteran who is the person who's getting the license or ID card is the one giving the approval. When you move to vehicle transactions, titles, and registrations, you have a high percentage of those where you have multiple owners. This is also frequently done through the mail or over the internet, so you're reducing sometimes the number of transactions where you can be certain that the person who has signed off on it is the person who is the veteran asking for the service. And certainly questions can't be answered in that in that sphere. That's really all I had on that, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you. And Mickey, I won't hold you to a testimony today, but I sure appreciate you being here and representing the agency. You've both been wonderful to work with, as has Bowley and the ODVA. And we did, we talked about the difference between if we were to just go like in the scope of a driver's license or an ID card or including the vehicle registration. And we were talking about that in terms of the years that might progress where somebody wouldn't come into contact with DMV. Could you touch on that just briefly in the conversation we had yesterday?
Certainly, Chair Matthews. So Oregon today has an 8-year renewal cycle on driver licenses and ID cards for the most part, for the vast majority. So between issuance and your next renewal and your next renewal, that's typically going to be 8 years. Whereas with a vehicle registration, if you purchase a new car, you're going to renew your registration in 4 years. And if it's not a brand new car, it's every 2 years you're going to be renewing that registration. So those are the differences in time lapse between contacts with DMV.
Right. And just for clarification, that's when we get our hands on the fiscal analysis or the statements, and I'm happy to share email with you, you'll see that there's several different ways of doing this. And one would include if we were just to look into the, you know, just the reach of the driver's licenses, and the other includes some of the registrations. And the numbers are not that significant in terms of fiscal, because I have to say that the fiscal coming back from your agency is just, I really appreciate that. And I understand we still have work to do. There is a fiscal with it, and we have work to do to advocate on that behalf if this committee elects to go forward, which, you know, I think that's going to happen, but probably not today. No, just kidding. Thank you so much. Are there any questions of this panel? We have DHS and ODOT right here if anybody has any questions at all about how this might look.
No, but I just want to get on the record. You know, I just think Amy, she's come to my office. I've grilled DMV up one side and down the other on these issues. And, you know, they're always willing to work with us and try. And so I just, you know, want to thank her and get that on the record and say appreciate you coming and being flexible and answering all my crazy questions. So.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I was telling her yesterday, you know, DMV gets a bad rap. I'm sorry. But out in Gresham, I have some of the most dedicated folks working in the DMV. And being a car guy, I'm there often. And I'm telling you, I just absolutely respect what they do. Mm-hmm. The volumes of numbers, if you can imagine a life where you had ticket number this, XYZ, all day long, and there was a line of folks outside your office, well, besides being a legislator, I just, the stress they must go through, but how they deal with it, they do a wonderful job. Thanks for your service. Yes.
Thank you, Chair Matthews. Mickey got all cleaned up, and I just feel really bad about letting him off the hook. Mickey, could you give us an idea of what the access points would look like for DHS and the programs that might target the individuals?
Yes, I can. And Chair Matthews and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mickey Cerise. I'm the legislative director for the Department of Human Services, and thank you for that question. Chair Huffman, Representative Huffman, we have in DHS about 150 field offices, and in working with Representative Matthews and Derek Bradley, since this summer, they actually contacted us as soon as they got written language from their LC, so we were able to sit down with them and understand the vision. And as you know, the devil was in the detail. It's in the wording on those legislative concepts in the bills, and we were able to come to an understanding and work with the representative, his concept, his vision, into existing initiatives that we have within the Department of Human Services. We're moving to modernization. We're moving to an IT system that will better serve our clients coming through any of our doors of the 150 offices. We do serve currently about 1.3 million Oregonians, about 800,000 of those are adults. And so in talking with the representative, we targeted the key program areas within the department that would represent the bulk of that population. As you heard, there's about 100,000 veterans that we don't identify, and this may be a mechanism that would help identify veterans. You also heard that we have some programs that have moved in that direction already. As a department and consolidated the way we are under Director Kelly Seal, we're going to be one agency doing the same type of work for all our customers. So we're all moving to notification of the veterans as they come through our door for services. And with the modernization program, as it rolls out and the way the bill is worded, it allows us to do that in tandem. As our modernization project rolls out, the IT project rolls out, we'll simply add this to that, which reduces the cost, actually eliminates the cost for us as an agency. The key programs that we targeted in the bill, they're listed there, but it's temporary assistance for needy families, the supplemental nutritional assistance program, used to be called the food stamp program, employment-related daycare, developmental disabilities, and vocational rehabilitation. That group would represent those 800,000 adults that I mentioned a little bit earlier. So does that answer your question?
Thank you, Mickey. It was great you reading that into the record, so thank you.
Perfect.
Appreciate it.
Yes, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Both Amy, you, and Mickey are probably some of the most responsive people in the whole state system that we use, legislative liaisons, et cetera. Very responsive, and you know, Tom, same thing. So I think that just in continuing this tack, we should have a media rollout or something of that. This is just another way to do it. And I know that some of the agencies have their own media people, or somebody who does those sorts of things. So is that something that we could maybe do to give you a little extra boost when this gets going?
To advertise?
Or as it gets going? Sorry?
To advertise? I think public releases would be up to the sponsor of the bill.
And the follow-up? And I guess the finishing of that, my point is, we often hear a lot of complaints from people, and your two sectors or areas what we often hear some, and you know, some of them are kind of picky, but I think this would be an area where then we could come back with some people, we'd hear back from some people that you're doing something that's very useful and appreciated.
Well, and Chair Matthews and Representative Boone, to that point, I think that's a very good point. A lot of the programs that we do initiate, getting the word out to the populations that need those services sometimes is a challenge for us, especially communities of color. Sometimes we have a greater difficulty getting the notices and the information out to those various communities. Most bills are passed without a marketing budget, so we are faced with doing something passively. So the DHS offices do have brochures in the lobbies, but if someone doesn't pick them up, then they sit there and they're unused. I view this bill the way it's asking DHS to work with anyone coming in asking for any type of service as a proactive approach. It's not the advertising, but it will catch those clients that are coming in and seeking DHS services. But I think you raise a good point. How would you get this information to the general public, people who normally wouldn't come into our offices, but it might give them an idea that if they pick the phone up and call the Veterans Affairs, that they may have benefits that are available to them.
Final?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, I have an idea, and maybe this would be something, and I know we're live here, so if the Oregonian is listening, we could have them do a story on this. And I think that'd be something positive, and I don't think anybody would, you know, it wouldn't cost us any money, and they would get some good words out on what we're doing.
Representative Boone, thank you for your comments, PERS, and we'll see if we can just announce a couple things that will get their attention, PERS, and then maybe they'll come to the Veterans Committee and follow our Veterans, PERS.
Thank you. Care transformation.
That to
the mix.
Now, as we're having the discussion, too, I look out the window, and I just saw Bob Maxwell walking across the street. And for those of you that don't know Bob, he's the only living Medal of Honor recipient in the state of Oregon, quite a veteran. And he just walked across the street, and he's heading back home. He was here today for the World War II Memorial. So great stuff happens in the Veterans Committee. Thank you both. Any further comments for anybody on the committee? Thank you very much, and both your agencies, thanks so much for your efforts, and thanks for your willingness to assist. And is there anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 2421 or 2422? I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2421 and House Bill 2422. Members of the committee, do you have anything for the good of the order?
Well, I do.
I do. I'd like to just say, earlier today we had an opportunity to go up to the governor's ceremonial chambers, which is a really neat office if you get a chance. And it was for the World War II Foundation Memorial, and they had a gathering there. And, there just were not a whole lot of our World War II veterans because, quite honestly, they're passing at a rate that we just can't keep up with. The sad reality is, so are our Vietnam veterans, and they are basically meeting them at the number and passing daily as well. I tell you this because Oregon is one of six states that doesn't have the memorial, and this group has, this committee has dealt with that issue of the memorial, and it's clear it's going to have to be built with private funds and donations. And during this, Lou Jaffe, who's the chair, suggested if we were to send a letter to 350,000 veterans and each ask $5 each, that we could get this thing built. Now, $1.2 million is the mark. My take on that is it's unfortunate that we would ask our veterans to pay for this memorial. My take on it is that others should find a way to fund this. And if you stepped outside and saw the large granite slab, it's going to be amazing and awesome. I would like to push the charge to get this done sooner than later. My understanding, there was $250,000 that was going to be dedicated in the emergency budget during the interim. I don't believe that got done. So Secretary of State Brown asked me to check on that, and we'll be doing that. But I will say, I made good on my commitment to support this from PAC Fund, and I made a contribution from my PAC. If every elected official would consider contributing some money out of their PAC Fund to this great cause instead of waiting for the big war chest to fight their neighbor, I think it would be much better well spent. So for me, I would encourage folks to share that word with several that are in the arena of politics and say, hey, how about something positive? Why don't we use this money for something well? Because the sad reality, $1.2 million is less than the race in my neighboring district that two people beat the heck out of each other over. And to be quite honest, that's unfortunate. $1.2 million, we've got to get there. We've got to get to where these folks are alive. Bob Maxwell, only living Medal of Honor recipient, he'd like to see that done so he could visit that memorial. And also Bill Markham, a 30-year member of this chamber and a B-17 pilot with 17-plus missions, he would also love to see this done. So I would charge this committee to take this on as champions because, as we know, we support our veterans, but we have to advocate for our veterans outside this chamber as well as what we do in this committee. So I appreciate you if you would consider that and appreciate you reaching out to some of the folks that have supported you because I know that they could support this great cause. Representative Parrish?
Well, since we're making plugs for money, and I'm really good at asking for money, I would just ask that the members of this committee mark their calendar. I believe it's April 20th, which is the Saluting Our Heroes dinner. And that is money to fund the Oregon Military Museum up at Camp Withicum. And they kicked off that event last year. Governors Kulongowski and Atiyah are the co-chairs of that organization. Oh, look at that. I think we're going to get some information about this. And
right on cue.
And this is going to be named after General James Thayer. And the Thayer family lives in my district. And so anyway, and he was a World War II veteran, and so we want to make sure we have a good showing out at that event. Last year, the only legislators from the building were Senator Johnson and myself, so I'd like to see this whole committee be up there. I think this year it's at the Governor's Hotel. I don't know, maybe 100.5 or something a seat, but we maybe as a committee want to sponsor a table would be nice, and show up at that event. So maybe we plan that.
Save the date. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you mentioned former Representative Bill Markham. I saw him after the event, and he told me that he would be really happy to testify in favor of the World War II Memorial and pushing for that in this committee, should we have any, it was not enough time for me to go get him right now, but if we have anything more about it, he would like to be notified so he could come and testify.
I would love to have him step forward in the building that he served so
many
years.
And I did give money to that, too. I've got
thank you so much, and thanks for doing that. Anything else for the good of the order? And with that, we will close the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness. Thank you all, and have a great day. Good.